I know we call things accidents, but truly, I don't believe that they're accidents. I believe that somehow energetically we have created them. So if you're in a car accident and you're going too fast or someone's going too fast and you crash, I think everything is a mirror. So where in your life are you going too fast? Are you rushing the whole time? Like, where is your energy rushing? Or where are you losing control in your life? Have you lost control of a car? It's a reflection of potentially maybe losing control in your life. Or if something else breaks down, where else in your life are things breaking down? I think everything is a reflection. So once you get through the feelings, the grief, then that real self-reflection of how did I even create this? How did this even come about in my life? Because it's no coincidence that this has happened. And what potentially can come of this? I believe hand on heart that the universe is always nudging us towards our highest purpose.
TheWellnessCouch.com, streaming wellness into your lives. Download the app today.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast, the show that helps crack open your heart and inspire a deeper regard for your own well-being and happiness. Proudly brought to you by 28 Essentials. Here's your host, the gorgeous Kim Morrison.
Welcome to the Self Love Podcast. This week, a very beautiful, special soul, beautiful Sarah Best. After she completed her degree in biomedical science, she went on to become a paramedic. She was with the Queensland Ambulance Service for over 19 years. She was even awarded the Paramedic of the Year and Excellence in Leadership Awards. She's also a qualified health coach through integrative nutrition. She's a Reiki master. She's a qualified NLP and timeline therapy practitioner. This beautiful soul is married to a gorgeous man called Cam, and you'll hear about his story in this beautiful podcast as well. He is the owner and founder of Juiced Up Groms. Wait till you hear about that amazing business. Together, they have three beautiful children, Harry, Phoebe, and Charlie. What Sarah realizes is that her journey is no coincidence. And after recognizing gaps in the healthcare system and realizing that all healing is multifaceted, it is not only what is offered from Western medicine, there is a lot that she and many people like her can offer. Experiencing what it's like to be a parent of a child with severe anxiety took her down a pathway, an alternative pathway that involved homeschooling for a period of time and energy healing. Her life was completely shaken up when Cam had a severe work accident in 2018, and she got to experience what it was like to be on the other side of the emergency system as a wife and carer. Most recently, her world changed dramatically 2.5 years ago when the vaccine mandate was made her no longer able to work in a job that she loved. But as you'll hear in this journey, there's no right or wrong. It's just an incredible pivot point where she then went on to pursue her passion for healing and coaching and birthed her business, Best Life Holistic Health. This is to help her clients go from surviving to thriving. She has a particular focus nowadays working with children who suffer from anxiety or high emotional needs, and of course, to support their parents. You are going to love today's podcast. She has an incredible story and lots of moments that have taught her how to pivot, turn, adapt, integrate, and grow. That nothing is an accident. Everything is there for your learning. She's an incredible woman. She has so much knowledge, so much insight, and definitely has both sides from an energetic and, I guess, medical way of looking at life. Cannot wait to hear what you think about today's interview. Please reach out to me on my Instagram page, Kim Morrison and the number 28, on Facebook, Kim Morrison Training. You can head on over to thewellnesscouch.com/self-love podcast. Please share this with any parents or people that you know going through a tough time. This might just be the beautiful messages that they need to hear to help them step up, level up, and get up and out of where they're at. I sincerely hope you enjoy it as much as I do. Thank you for your 5-star rating. Thank you for sharing these beautiful interviews. And thank you to our beautiful sponsors, 28 Essentials and also The Wellness Couch. And of course, a big thanks to our special guest today, the amazing Sarah Best. I cannot wait to hear what you think of today's interview. Take care. Be kind. Well, it's with absolute pleasure and delight that this week we have a very special soul on the podcast, gorgeous Sarah Best. Welcome to the show, my love. I have been really looking forward to this.
Oh, thank you, Kimmy. Thank you for having me. I've been so looking forward to this day for a while now, so it's such a pleasure to be here.
Well, my love, you know and I know that you have lived a very, let's say, colourful life. There's lots of amazing, interesting things about different pinpoints in your journey. Could you just take us back to the beginning and how and what led you into doing what you're doing today?
Well, it's such a massive question. And yes, you're right, very colourful, lots of different branches, different directions, but all has led me to where I am today. And I'm so grateful for that. But if we're to go back to the beginning, I grew up in a little country town outside of Toowoomba. I had a beautiful childhood, spent outside most of the time running around, lots of scraped knees and broken bones and all the fun things that we did as kids. You know, amazing parents. We played lots of sport, lots of, you know, fun family holidays, and family was always such a massive part of my life growing up. As I journeyed through my life, I realized that I always liked to patch people up. I loved to be the person to put the band-aid on the sore, to help people if they were feeling sick, to, you know, be there when people needed help. And I wasn't aware of that. Now, in hindsight, I'm aware of it, but at the time I was just so intrigued. And I had a grandfather who was a vet. My other grandfather was a surgeon. My grandmothers were nurses. I had about six or seven aunties who were nurses. My mum was a nurse. I had another uncle who was a surgeon. So I had lots of medical influence growing up. And I just found the human body and all things health, wellness, sickness, injury, emergencies just fascinating. My favourite subjects at school were like biology and the health, anatomy, physiology, all of those kinds of things. It just sparked so much interest and passion for me. I thought that I wanted to be a nurse when I finished school, I think because of all the nursing influence, and it was my number one thought, you know, medical. But then one day I was sitting in the car, I was about 15 years old, sitting in the car, and this ambulance came flying past, lights and sirens on, and I just looked at them and I thought, oh my goodness, I want to be a paramedic. I just, everything about it, I just loved. I loved the idea that you were out and about every day, that you weren't, you know, in a hospital all the time or in one room. Every single day was going to be different. In fact, minute to minute was different. Every job would be different. And everything about it just appealed to me. The fact that you were on the front line, the first responders to the emergency, and that you could be anywhere. You could be in a, you know, in a cattle yard, you could be on a highway, you could be in someone's bathroom, living room, sporting field, you know, up in a high rise, whatever it was always a different perspective and a different outlook for every job. And I thought, yep, that's what I want to do. So when I joined to be a paramedic, it wasn't offered as a uni degree back then. So you had to go through all of this testing process. And my plan was, when I finished school, I'm going to do nursing anyway, because that gave me a few years to be old enough to apply, because I knew it was pretty tough to get in straight away after you finish school. So I thought, I'll do my nursing and then start working, and then I'll go through the ambulance process, which can take a few years, and when I'm 25, I'll be a paramedic. So that was the plan. When I finished school, I did 3 weeks of nursing at uni, and I went, I don't want to be a nurse. I'm like, no, I don't want to be a nurse. It's not for me. I'm going to, you know, defer my uni. Plus, I'd been studying for 12 years and I was like, you know what, I'm not ready to study. I don't want to pay all this money and not end up with the result. So I ended up getting a job in a medical center. My mum being a nurse, she had friends who were nurses, and a good friend of hers said, look, we're looking for a junior medical assistant in the practice. Sarah would be perfect. And I absolutely loved it. It was so great, because not only did I get to, you know, do reception work, but I actually got to help the doctor. I got to do like hearing tests and eye tests and, you know, ECGs and lung tests and all these different little hands-on things, which really just fed my passion. After about a year and a half of doing that, I was like, oh my goodness, I can't just be an assistant. Like, I want to, if I'm going to keep going, I've got to be the doctor. Like, I need to be the head person here. So that sparked me to go back to uni. I knew I didn't want to do nursing, but I knew I wanted to study. I was really thirsty for more knowledge. So I ended up going back to uni and studying biomedical science for a similar reason. I thought, this will give me a really good platform of all the things I'm interested in the medical world, and I can use that as a stepping stone if it takes me a few years to become a paramedic. So I did my biomedical science degree, and then when I finished, applied to be a paramedic. It took about 12 months to go through the process, but I worked in a medical center that whole time, once again, just surrounded by anything health, wellness, illness, you know, assisting doctors, doing their little procedures. And as it turned out, I got into the paramedic straight away once the testing was finished. And it just so happened they had jobs on the Sunshine Coast, which was brilliant because I was already based here. So super excited to start my journey. So my next part of the journey was a diploma in paramedical science. And I loved it from day one. I mean, my heart was racing. That first day, I'll never forget. Going, you know, to a person with the lights and sirens going, and I was like, oh my goodness, what is going to happen when we get there? But I worked with some incredible mentors and just really loved the learning journey. Fast forward, you know, I think I worked on the coast for about 5 or 6 years, and then we started to have children. I met my beautiful husband when I was 20, so he came through this whole university paramedic journey with me. And was so super supportive the whole way. And then we got married, and we decided we wanted to have children. Once we had children, obviously it changed the working dynamic. So we looked at different options. We're like, how can we get the best family work-life balance? And it turned out that we decided we were going to move out into central Queensland, where I could work as a paramedic week on, week off, but our ambulance house would be next door to the ambulance station. So I could be to and from home with the kids when I needed to be, and Cam could work from home. So we had about a 2-year plan for that, and we ended up staying out there for nearly 6. And from a work perspective, as much as it was amazing from a, you know, a family, you know, having time with our young children together, but from a work perspective, it also really challenged me because I was working as a single officer. So not only are you out in central Queensland, and the nearest hospital for me at that time was about 40 minutes away, depending on where I was. But I was on my own. Yes, backup could come, but they were quite some time away, and sometimes coming by helicopter, you know, 90 minutes away. So it was amazing from a paramedic point of view to be in that position, because all of a sudden you are the paramedic, the driver, the, you know, the scene controller. And it just, yeah, it really expanded my skills, my knowledge. Had to take so much more leadership out there, because on the coast, you know, if there was a big job to happen, you know, there could be 3 or 4 ambulances there within that first 10, 15, 20 minutes, plus a scene controller, plus if you needed a doctor, they could come. Like, all of these things that you took for granted were no longer there. So I was really pushed clinically and personally, emotionally. And then the challenges of working in a small town where you know most of your patients as well. So you've got that connection with people, which is a beautiful thing, but also a challenging thing. So that was an amazing part of the career. And now, just shy of nearly 20 years working as a paramedic, I've changed directions a little bit in my life. The last few years have been really big for us as a family. Cam was involved in a serious work accident in a mine back in 2019, and that changed a lot for our life. I know we can talk about that later on. And since then, plus we had the 3 children, we moved back to the Sunshine Coast and just trying to get the work-life balance. And I realized also, and I was starting to realize this when I was out in central Queensland, that there's way more to health, well-being, emotional healing, all of these things than just the surface stuff. Yes, we would pick people up for an emergency, and I, you know, the medical system we have today for emergencies is phenomenal. If you're in an emergency situation, you need to be put back together. Incredible service that they provide. But I was realizing that there was so much more chronic illness that we were going to in the ambulance, not just the acute emergency things. And then I was like, you know, how does this come about for people? And, you know, you get treatment at the hospital for this one time, but what does your life look like and what's your health and well-being journey moving forward for that? And myself, I knew I was going through a lot of emotional things. I had some things going on with, you know, our oldest son when he was born and when he was young, which led me down another path, as you know, to using Reiki and healing in our lives, which we can talk about later. And then I've just gone on to study so many different things in the last 10 years to build on my toolkit to help people, and not just from a, you know, paramedic point of view, but from a whole holistic healing point of view, because I believe now so deeply that all healing is holistic and multifaceted. Just doesn't come from a hospital or a doctor, or just from food, or just from, you know, emotional healing or work or whatever it is. It's got to be the whole picture. So I started to, you know, branch out a little bit, I guess, in the last decade through personal experiences to the point where I am now, working in my own business, Best Life Holistic Health, which I just love. And I'm still helping people, but on a different level. And it's still healing, but it's just, it's a beautiful way to connect with people.
Sarah, it's the most phenomenal story, and it fascinates me because I've always looked at ambulances and frontline workers and not only been intrigued at what they go to, but more importantly, how they manage to stay so calm in such sometimes quite horrific or tragic circumstances. One thing I just wanted to clear up with you, I'm curious to know, in that training in an emergency situation, let's talk a little bit here around paramedics and what you frontliners have to see and do. Are you trained to deal emotionally post an event? Like, how do we look after our frontline workers? Because in my understanding, a lot get burnt out. A lot also carry a lot of PTSD, but they have to bury it or cover it up because they've got to keep working. What do you think? And is it something that's quite significantly known in your industry?
It's definitely something that's grown. When I first started, which was nearly 20 years ago, it wasn't talked about a lot. And I guess the accumulative effects of back-to-back, you know, high trauma jobs was not really well known. There's so much more research out there now, and I think a lot more people are speaking about it. You know, back then there might have been a bit of stigma about, you know, some of the symptoms people were feeling, but now there is a lot more. I still feel like we've got a long way to come in helping and managing people's symptoms, particularly emergency workers. The training, yes, we get a small amount of training in dealing with emotions, but it is a really hard thing to teach because every single person is different. Every single person has had a different upbringing, is going to be triggered by different things. I know paramedic Sarah before I had children was affected so differently to paramedic Sarah once I had children. Oh my goodness. Every person I went to once I had children was somebody's son, was somebody's daughter, you know, somebody's mother. Whereas when I was a bit younger before then, it didn't seem to have the same impact. But it isn't like a set training. You really do have to be aware of how you manage yourself and what affects you. There are services out there where you can have counseling, and we do debrief after certain big jobs. But it's not, it's almost like every day you could have some kind of counselling. Having a partner or a person, somewhat like a work partner or your home partner, if they're interested in the stories, it was hard for Cam because he doesn't like the trauma, the blood and the story. So I really reached out to my colleagues if I needed to talk about something. But it's definitely getting better, but there's still a lot of room for improvement. And even recently I was talking to a psychologist just about my career, and he said, you know, 20 years, he said, now is a really good time to stop, in fact, because the accumulative effect. And I think this is one thing people don't realize is you think you're okay for a certain period of time, and it's the little things that build up. You have that one big job, and then 6 months later you might have another big job, or sometimes you might go to three big jobs in a week. But it's the accumulative effect of those jobs. I know paramedics that have had that one job that completely changed them, and they hadn't, you know, they couldn't come back to work, or it really, really affected them. But mostly I would say it's an accumulative effect. And you see the world so much, I see the world with so much mortality in a good way, in that I know that life can be changed in a split second. I've seen it so many times, and from the most random things that you would not expect. So good points to that is I do treasure life a lot more because I know how fragile it is. On the other hand, it can make me worry about things that most people probably don't worry about. So it is, once again, just finding that balance.
You mentioned very quickly in there about seeing your own psychologist. Is this something with fire, ambulance, police, where it's encouraged that you guys speak to someone? I'm really curious about it because of the workload, and we see a lot more of what you guys do now on television shows and medical shows. And I think it's really highlighted, well, certainly for me, just how big a job our frontline workers have. And so I'm curious to know, are you supported financially to have psychological help? Is there help available to you that's at least the bare minimum apart from one another?
Once again, it's something that is improving. It's definitely now that you're encouraged a lot more to talk about it and to reach out for help. So when I went and saw a psychologist, it was actually for something different completely. It was to do with, you know, Cam's accident. So I was dealing with a lot of, trauma and a lot of things from his particular accident. We got the whole history, and that's how my job came into it. So it's a really tough question because there's so many avenues, and I think every single person's different. And from what I've seen and observed, it seems to be you think you're okay to a certain amount of time, and then a fall off the edge can be very quick. So I love the fact that my psychologist said to me, now's a really good time to start winding that back, because if you go much further with the amount of trauma that's happened, you know, you will start to see effects of PTSD and things like that. The ambulance service does provide like counselling for people. They have their own set of counsellors, and we have a system called Priority One, which, you know, they might give you a call after a big job. I always sort of sought my own help. I know with your GP, you can get a certain number of, you know, if you have a mental health care plan, you can get a certain number of psychological appointments, and through the ambulance, they will cover a certain amount as well. So it is there. The help is definitely there, but I just feel like, you know, we can build on it. Everyone can build on it.
Oh, I just think it's such a profound insight into this world, and I cannot say on behalf of every single listener how much we appreciate what you guys do. When we see these big emergencies happening, or particularly roadside accidents or police and ambulance cars parked outside a house and all of these sorts of things, we know there's something quite traumatic going on. For you personally then, out in country Queensland where you were, was that challenging when you said you knew people? Like, how did you cope? Because sometimes I think we can divorce ourselves. I know I could probably look after another child better in an emergency situation than my own. And I just think that that's just a natural thing, isn't it? So how did you cope knowing so many of those beautiful souls?
Yeah, another layer. I mean, part of it is really special because you know that person and you are the one that they are calling for help. I always had this feeling in my job that I was just so humbled and so grateful to be able to serve people in their, you know, most vulnerable times. It really is such a gift because we see people when other people would not see them like that. You know, when you've been really sick and in bed, and you know what you look like and feel like when you're in that state, or there is a sudden emergency and the emotions are extremely high. To be that person to walk into someone's house, or to be that first person who arrives, you know, to a car accident, to look your patient in the eye and say, you know, my name is Sarah, I'm here to help you. Everything's going to be okay if you can say that. It's just the level of connection you can have with patients is huge, and it really is just such a gift to be in that space. And I don't take that for granted, having that, I don't know what the word is, but it's not responsibility, but, you know, to be able to put on that uniform and then enter these, you know, to walk into someone's house is huge. And then to go again another level where you're in a town where you might know someone's address because it's your friends or family friends in that house, and you get a call to that address, and it's like your friend's child or their mum or their husband. What a gift to be that person that they call. But I have walked into a situation out there, and, you know, I did initially burst into tears because it was a good friend of mine, and I was like, oh my goodness, you know, fortunately they were okay, but it added another layer. And then it was very quickly like, right, okay, back into work mode. But I think having an element of compassion and humanity is really important as well, not to be completely robotic in what we do. Yes, there is an element where we do have to be able to do the processes, but then to also be able to, yeah, empathize with our patients on that level of what they are actually going through is really special as well.
I think you guys are remarkable. I remember, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but my beautiful baby at 6 weeks of age somehow wriggled off the change table, and I've never been more. I just finished my first aid for young children, which, you know, as mums, we all went along to it. And I remember sitting there thinking, wonder if I'll ever need to use CPR on a baby, or I wonder if I'll ever need to ring an ambulance. 48 hours later, my baby has fallen off the change table. I've never felt so bad in my entire life. The ambulance came and these two beautiful souls walked in, and I'm trying to do CPR. Turns out Taylor was only winded, but I thought I'd crushed her pharynx, ruptured her spleen, broken her hips. Like, I thought the worst, but these two were so calm. And I think that's something I really want to reiterate and give thanks to you guys, that you really do give us a sense of we can get through this when our emotions are so high. Another thing that you talked about, and I noticed something, I think you're quite unique, and I don't know if this is because I love you so much or because we're friends, but you do seem to have a very big, as you mentioned, holistic approach. You've been interested in biomedical science. You're interested in chemistry. You're interested in food. You're interested in mental health. How are you normal, if that's the right question? Or is there a lot of you that think the way you do? Because I actually think you're quite unique.
Yeah, I'm absolutely not normal at all. And I love that. I do think differently to lots of different people, but I think I love that as well, that everybody is different. And the reason I would say I'm not normal anymore is because of all the experiences I've had along the way. I've had so many different experiences that have shaped me. And look, I always knew that there was something more to life or to what was happening in the universe than just, like, I'd always been open to different ideas that there was, you know, whether there was like a universal power. I always believed that everything happens for a reason, you know, even growing up. But then once probably the biggest turning point for me into our health journey was when Harry was born. I had this idea that I was going to have this, my child was going to be that the happiest, most easygoing child. He would go to anyone. You know, he'd be happy to stay with my mom or my sister and just be this really happy soul that would go with the flow. That's what I thought I was going to, the motherhood was going to be like. As it turned out, Harry, from basically day one, had really bad separation anxiety, like terrible separation anxiety. We couldn't leave him with anyone. He would scream from the minute that we left, and literally until we left him one day for a few hours, and he screamed till he, you know, had vomited repeatedly all over himself. And eventually passed out. And I was just like mortified that that had happened while we weren't there. But he just struggled so much with the separation. As long as we were there, he was okay. He got better as time went on, little bit by little bit. We didn't push him hard, but we certainly encouraged little different things. We knew what made him feel safe. Like if someone came to our house to look after him, someone he knew, say my mom or my sister, came to look after him at the house, I could say, Mummy's going, you know, when I was pregnant with Phoebe, to the doctor to get the baby checked. I'll be back. And then he started to understand that if he was in his house, someone would come back to me. But it was such an interesting journey. Anyway, fast forward, going to school. School was really hard for Harry. He worried all day when he was at school, to the point where when he was 7, he was having all sorts of really awful physical symptoms. He couldn't eat, he couldn't swallow because he had this lump in his throat. We did the medical things. You know, we got him checked by a doctor, by an ENT, ended up having an endoscope to make sure there was nothing, you know, no stricture in his throat stopping him from swallowing. But my gut feeling the whole time was this is emotional. And as it turned out, they couldn't find anything physically wrong, but this feeling in his throat was emotional. But he couldn't actually eat. He was living off smoothies for such a long time. Ended up taking him out of school because school was not working for him at that point in time. Every day was really difficult. He was nauseated. He had headaches. Like, what, he felt sick. He was in tears. It was awful for everybody. Fortunately, this was all happening while we were out in central Queensland, there was a beautiful lady who lived up the road who is one of my best friends, and she was a healer. She also did a lot of healing work. She was a Reiki master. And she said, look, I can give Harry a treatment for you. And I was like, please, that would be great. I don't know where else to sort of turn. We've done all the medical stuff, but there's nothing medical there to fix. He'd seen a child psychologist for the anxiety side of things, but we really needed something bigger than what was just physically happening in front of us. Reiki sessions, energy healing sessions to ground him into his body, because his energy was so outside of his body that he just was not grounded. And it wasn't like a miraculous one healing and it was done, but we had back-to-back healings for quite a few months. Each healing would be a little bit better, a little bit, little bit, little bit better, a little bit better. Within 6 months, he did go back to school and was a different child. We continued to build on that. It wasn't just one thing, but, you know, I was desperate. I was that desperate mama. I was in tears. It was one of the hardest times in my life. I felt like I had completely failed as a mother. I'm like, my child doesn't cope with living in this world. What have I done? And I needed something extra. And Reiki energy healing, provided by beautiful Emily, who actually has her own business called Intuitive Parents, Intuitive Kids. She was a savior. And I loved the Reiki so much that I started having Reiki sessions for myself, because I realized, you know, I had all these fears as a mother and all of these emotions going on. So I needed to start doing the healing too. And it was such a profound turning point, because then I went on to do Reiki as well. I did my level one, my level two. I'm now a Reiki master. It's been, you know, nearly 8 or 9 years since I've done all that. And I just love Reiki so much. Energy is just so powerful. We have trapped energy all through our body. It can be from, you know, a big trauma, like a big physical trauma. It can be from a big emotional trauma, or even just little things. You know, someone just saying something that affects you can just, you know, trap emotion in your body energetically. So it's just a really powerful way to add to the healing. And I mean, Harry, now you've seen him, like, no, but when I tell this story about Harry, people are just like, no way, not Harry. And I'm like, yes, if only you knew. But it was such a big, big turning point and a big eye opener for me. And it really did. That was the catalyst to going into the health and well-being sector. Sorry, I know I got a bit off track there, but yes, no, I'm not normal. in that healing, there is the food, there is, you know, the toxins and the chemicals and all of the different modalities, but it really opened up my eyes to a bigger picture.
You really are someone who is the epitome of when life experiences teach you things. Like we're sent things where, you said it before, things happen for a reason. It's quite interesting that your work then took you down, it exposed you to another whole realm, which has given you an even bigger holistic approach. Can we go forward then to your husband's accident? Because that must have been pretty horrific and traumatic for you through that time with your kids, also with your knowledge that you have from a medical perspective. Could you explain, if you're willing to talk about it, could you explain to us what happened and how you guys traversed your way through that one?
Yeah, so this is another massive turning point again. So we got through all of Harry's things. And then in 2019, my husband was working in an underground mine out in central Queensland. And underneath the ground, he had a large rock, like we're talking nearly 100 kilo piece of rock, fall out of the ceiling and hit him on the back. So how he survived is an absolute miracle. But once again, everything happens for a reason. And he's a big, strong fellow. So I think his stature and his strength had a lot to do with how well he took the brunt. He was severely injured, significantly injured, and ended up being in ICU for, just over a week, and in hospital for 3 weeks in total. And, like, he needed ambulances, he needed helicopters, medical transports. We even had, a flight from Mackay down to the Sunshine Coast. And, this was the first time I'd really been on the other side of the emergency services. So he was needing the emergency service instead of me being the one in the ambulance. I was, even though it wasn't me, but I was very much part of the treatment he was receiving. And once again, this was a huge, huge turning point. Once we got through the initial phases of trauma, which is huge because my youngest, Charlie, was only 2 at the time. So I had a 2-year-old, a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old. I was completely beside myself with what our life was potentially going to look like moving forward for quite a period of time. Like the first 3 to 6 months where Cam was really healing, I did feel like I was the single parent for a lot of it. I had incredible family support and support from friends, but I really missed my husband a lot. And Cam is so, so good with kids. Like, he is so fun. I try to be fun, but I'm not as fun as Cam. He plays and plays and plays with the kids. So I knew they were really missing him in that sense too. But this accident, he couldn't, once he became well enough to start thinking about what, he was going to do moving forward, he knew he was passionate about, children's health, getting kids moving. And we were both very passionate about health and wellness. And from that accident, his business was born, Juiced Up Groms. So my brother is actually a personal trainer, and he loves working with children as well. So he had this idea that he wanted to work with kids, and my husband had this idea that he wanted to work with kids. So they joined forces, and they thought, we can teach kids about food and movement, how to look after their body. And Juiced Up Groms now has become the most incredible business. They have done such an incredible job. They're changing lives every day. The comments from the parents, about the change in their kids from doing their programs is just massive. They work with kids who are supported through NDIS. So children that might have a few extra challenges that, might not fit into the regular box, but my goodness, what an incredible service they're providing for all of these beautiful souls and teaching them how to live a happy, healthy life, which is what we want in the end. But if it hadn't have been for the accident, which at the time, of course, we didn't know. I knew in my heart, I'm like, everything happens for a reason. I know that, but sometimes it's hard to see it straight away. But in hindsight, it was another gift. It taught me so much about myself. It actually led me to you, Kim, which is another one of the most beautiful things about it, because I was struggling. I was struggling emotionally, physically, mentally after Cam's accident, which was 2019. And then the self-love group was born just after that, like in 2020, I think it was born, wasn't it? And I was looking for something. I was like, I need some more support. I need to take better care of myself. I'm going to take better care of the family. So I joined your self-love group right from the start. And it was just that 1 hour a week that I could give myself to be in a space of beautiful, beautiful women, to hear teachings from yourself and the other guests. And it was just, it was a real gift to myself in that time. And I've come a long way, done a lot of things there, but I'm still a part of that group and it is still so special to me. So such an, you know, another gift from the universe. Otherwise I may not have been in that group.
It's incredible, isn't it? And sometimes in the throes of despair, trauma or upset, it's very, very hard to see a gift in it. But in hindsight, when we take time and we actually look back on the big significant events that have occurred in our lives, there's often a pivot point or a turning point or an aha or an opening. I'm sure there's for many people too, where it doesn't go so well. And that's where mental health really, I just so wish we could create groups around people that go through anything, because half the time it's that support and realizing you're not alone, that you have got the guts, the courage, and the tenacity to get through this. What would you say then is the biggest thing that you could bestow on the Self-Love Podcast listener that when they've gone through something very traumatic, heavy, challenging, or even an emergency life or death situation, what do you think are some of the key things that have been really, really important to you in order to know that you can go through anything that you have, or that you can grow through, actually, through anything that you go through? What do you think is your tips there?
The first thing I think is you've got to allow yourself to experience what it is you're going through. That's been a big learner for me. If you do not let yourself feel all the feelings and actually acknowledge what it is you're going through, then it ends up getting pushed down and it'll come out sideways somewhere down the track. So I think acknowledging where you're at, what you're going through, speaking to someone, if you've got someone to speak to, reach out to different support networks, different mentors, different coaches. It might be your doctor, your counselor, a good friend, a family member, just someone who you can talk to. Let the tears come. Let the emotions come that are coming up. If it's, you know, anger, if you need to, you know, get your fists into a pillow or scream into a pillow, whatever it is you need to do to shift that energy and emotion, you know, allow it to be there. I think we're very quick to dismiss or feel shame or guilt for feeling certain emotions. We know that it's not somewhere we want to stay. Well, most people are like, I don't like feeling like this. I don't want to stay here forever. But I think feeling the feelings is the first step in moving, then being able to move through them. Because you always feel such a sense of relief after a massive cry or, you know, getting rid of some anger or whatever it is, the feeling or the emotion or the sadness, the grief. And then starting to think, okay, so where do I want to go from here? What options do I have? And finding the right people or the right things to support you. Or actually, even better, they will find you. It's so incredible how if you put something out to the universe, then all of a sudden, you know, something might pop up on your Facebook feed or a particular person might come into your life because you've verbalized something that you want to do or create with your life. So they would be my first two tips. So think about what you do want to create from here after you've experienced it and look at potentially, you know, how is your life prior to this incident or this accident. I think there's no coincidences. I know we call things accidents, but truly I don't believe that they're accidents. I believe that somehow energetically we have created them. So if you're in a car accident and, you know, you're going too fast or someone's going too fast and you crash, I think everything is a mirror. So where in your life are you going too fast? Are you rushing the whole time? Like, where is your energy rushing? Or where are you losing control in your life? Like, have you lost control of a car? It's a reflection of potentially maybe losing control in your life. Or if something else breaks down, where else in your life are things breaking down? I think everything is a reflection. So once you get through the feelings and the grief, you know, then that real self-reflection of how did I even create? How did this even come about in my life? Because it's no coincidence that this has happened. And what potentially can come of this? Like, the universe, I believe hand on heart that the universe is always nudging us towards our highest purpose. It's always like everything, this is one of your favorite sayings, Kimmy, and it's absolutely one of my favorite, is that the universe isn't happening to you. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you. And even one step more, we are creating it. We create everything. We are a direct reflection of all the choices and all the things we've ever made in our life. And that minute you take responsibility for that, it's the best worst day of your life, because it's the best day because if you know you are 100% responsible for what's going on in your life, then you know you have the power to change it. But it's also the worst because then you can't blame anybody else or anyone or anything for what's going on. So I think gently peeling back the layers through any traumatic event. It's not like your trauma is going to happen one day and the next day you're going to be like, oh, that was great. The universe is happening to me. Where is this going to lead me? But gently peeling back the layers, asking deeper questions, getting a coach or a mentor to help you through it, to help process the trauma, help process the emotions, and then to help set goals to move forward. So getting help is a big one.
Oh,
but being gentle
this.
And kind to yeah. yourself.
I think this is so powerful because so many of us, and it can be little things, can't it? Like losing your job or losing your mom or being up against some sort of challenge that you didn't see coming. This is very powerful in giving yourself space and time to feel it, to heal it, but also getting support and guidance to help you through it. I mean, I wouldn't know how to put someone back together again in a surgical room. So, of course, I'm going to get help. If we've never been through such big traumatic events, how on earth are we putting so much pressure on ourselves? Or as you said, we suppress it, or we become martyrs, or we have these things show up in our body. This is what I love about you. You're very practical and science-minded, but then you also appreciate how emotions can create trauma within the body as well. You've also gone on and studied nutrition. You've gone on and studied NLP. You've done your Reiki. What else have you done? And do you think this is it, or is Sarah just getting started?
No, it's definitely not it. I'm always seeking to learn more, seeking more to learn more for myself. How can I be the best version of me? How can I be the best mother, the best wife, the best friend, daughter, practitioner, coach? How can I be a shining light for people in this world? And to do that, I know I need to keep growing and evolving. So I love learning. I'm actually going to be doing my hypnotherapy course this year. That's something that's locked in. So that's super excited. But I've also done, my personal development teacher training, my health and wellness through you, self-mastery through you, Kim, my oils course. So essential oils is another key thing in my holistic health wheel. I have, you know, ice bathing, food, exercise, oils, my relationships with people, the time with my husband, my kids, and extended family. Like being with my family is honestly the thing that makes my heart sing the most. So all of those little things together brings this beautiful holistic wheel. And I hope that I'm still learning even right up to the very end. Because I just think we don't know what we don't know, and we're only ever scratching the surface of what we could possibly know. But one thing I do know is how much I feel like I have changed as a person and grown as a person through doing this work. I feel like I can have better relationships with my family, my friends, my kids, and my husband. I understand people, I think, a lot better now. I have so much more compassion for people and what they're going through by having a deeper level understanding and knowing how my brain works. Like you mentioned NLP and timeline therapy. Oh my goodness, NLP was such a game changer. And I did that not too long after Cam's accident as well. Once things had settled down, I did something for me. Wow. Oh my God. Talk about opening a can of worms, and you start to realize how your brain works and how it is impacting you every day. Oh my God, what a gift as well. You're like, oh my God, this is the best and the worst. But if you understand how your brain works, then you can do things to change it to work in your favor. If you don't understand it, then you're flying blind. And the same patterns just keep repeating themselves because you're not aware of how you're even getting to those points in the first place.
Interesting, isn't it? Because some people just are not interested in learning this stuff about themselves, or it's maybe it's too confrontational, or maybe they don't want to know, or maybe they're afraid of what might be seen, but it's nowhere near as dark or challenging. It's shining that light on the darkness and realizing it's not as bad as you thought. And that's where I love your philosophy for living, that there's always a reason. There's something to learn. We can pivot, we can grow. And then what else do I need to know in order to get through this? Something that came up very big in the time that I've known you. We've gone through a whole thing. Not many people like to talk about it these days, but COVID, whatever side we sat on, vaccinate, not vaccinate, work, don't work, lockdowns, no lockdowns, doesn't matter. You and I both have the same thing here, that everybody was trying to do the best they could. But it did completely rupture your world. And just in the last week, the mandate has been seen as unlawful, or it was seen as unlawful for emergency services in Queensland. The Supreme Court adjudicated that. Could you talk us through how you managed? Because, man, there were some tough times we both experienced, obviously from my point of view, supporting you, but also everything else that you did. Where did you stand on that? How did you get yourself through it? And then how did it feel with the outcome last week?
Oh, wow. This is another huge, huge life event that we've been through in the last few years. And just under 2.5 years ago, I was working as a paramedic, doing my thing. And we got 30 days notice that we had to have the COVID injection or we would no longer be allowed to work as a paramedic. It wasn't aligned with me to have the injection. And once again, as you said, like, there's no right or wrong here. I've got friends, I've got family that had the injection. I've got friends and family who didn't have the injection. And I truly believe, you know, we all wanted the same thing, was to be, as you said, you know, safe and healthy, whichever way that looked like for you. I knew for me that I did not want to have the injection, mostly because I didn't trust that there was enough supporting evidence long-term to know what the side effects were going to be. And just to put it into perspective, prior to having the COVID injection, you know, I was vaccinated as a child and, you know, my vaccines were up to date for work and those kinds of things. So it wasn't like I'd grown up completely, you know, vaccines are bad or anything like this, but I just had this feeling about this. I didn't want to go there. And then the other thing that didn't sit well with me was the fact that that choice of being able to have it or not to have it was not a free choice, in that there were, you know, there was coercion in that if you didn't have it, you were going to lose your job. It felt like there was, you know, coercion, manipulation. You couldn't make the choice about the injection without bringing in what would happen to my family if I don't have a job. There were all of these other reasons that people were or were not having the vaccine. And like I said, for me, it was not in my soul's alignment not to be able to freely have that choice. And I made the choice, and this part was a choice. I did actually make the choice not to have it and to essentially step down from my paramedic position. It broke my heart at the same time. As you know, I went through all of the emotions. I reached out for help. I got some one-on-one mentoring and support from Kim and my other beautiful friend, Emily, through Intuitive Parents, Intuitive Kids. She played a big part in supporting me through this. I was so angry to start with. I was so angry that I felt like that choice had been made for me. I always thought, you know, I'll decide the day that I don't want to be a paramedic anymore, and I'll have like a big going away party or something like that. You know, I'll be celebrated for everything that I've done over, you know, my career. But I felt like that choice to leave had been, you know, it came early, and it wasn't for the reasons that I thought it was going to be. So much anger initially, so much sadness and so much grief. I was really grieving for this job because I loved being a paramedic. And it was a big part of my identity. I was like, you know, if I'm not Sarah the paramedic, who am I? That's who I'd been for nearly 20 years as well. That's how people recognized me a lot of the time. I was like, what am I going to do with my life? How am I going to make money? All of these things going through my head. But I knew one thing for certain was that my highest purpose in this case was not to have that injection. And as a part of the flow-on effect of that, there was a group of paramedics who felt the same, and we had some legal advice, and we got involved in the court case that you mentioned. It was a choice again whether you wanted to put your name on the list of plaintiffs for this court case. And there were a fair few, you know, quite a few people that didn't want to put their name to it. I was at the point where I was like, well, I've lost my job now anyway. So if they're going to, you know, if I'm going to be terminated for having my name on the list, then so be it. But it was so important to me moving forward for my kids, for the future, to, you know, stand up for what you feel is right and for what you believe in. And I felt like, to a sense, I was standing up for humanity and for my colleagues and just for anybody in general that in any work, whether it was a cafe or a cleaner or a teacher or anybody that was mandated to have this vaccine that it didn't feel aligned with, because it's so hard if it doesn't feel 100% aligned to have something put into your body that you don't want. Fast forward now, 2.5 years. So it took 2.5 years from making that decision to be a part of that court case. Along the way, we joined forces with the police as well. So the ambulance and the police, both in regards to the mandate. So the court case wasn't anything to do with the injection itself. Like, is it safe? Is it this? You know, what are the side effects? Nothing at all to do with the injection. It was all purely based around the mandate, and that we felt that it was a breach of human rights not to have that choice. It's a medical procedure and we're not getting the choice here. 2.5 years later, just the other day, I actually rang you in tears, so much emotion coming forth that out of, I don't know, we felt like it was a David versus Goliath type situation. But, you know, the most incredible thing happened in that was that the Supreme Court ruled that the mandate itself was unlawful. And to hear that, I was just, I don't, like, it's still a bit surreal to me, but the emotion that came flooding forward, and I've been through, like, I felt like I'd done a lot of grieving. I felt like that I've moved on. I've done a lot of other things looking forward into the future, but wow, the wave of emotion that came through me when I got the phone call about that was huge. And it felt like just like this massive final release of everything, and an amazing, it's like a closing of a chapter, but also still opening other chapters now. But it was so much closure. And just to know, to be able to tell the kids, because they've been along this journey with me, they, you know, ask, Mummy, why can't you go to work? You know, don't you want to be a paramedic anymore? All of these different things. And to have them, to be able to tell them that we got that result, I was just like, you know, if you believe something in your heart, because this was such an emotional, heartfelt decision to be a part of this, that something isn't right here, standing up for humanity as I see it, and to, yeah, actually put your name to it and be a part of it was just incredible. And I just hope that it gives my kids courage to stand up for what they believe in for themselves, and regardless of what anybody else feels, it's not about anybody else, you know, but for them. And it might be just a tiny little decision about something, but if it gives them the courage to stand up for what they believe in and what's right in their heart and to follow that, then my job is done. And not just them, but anybody. Anybody who didn't feel like they could speak up or have a voice or leave their job or walk away. I just want this to be like a shining light for them to say, hey, it is okay. The universe will have your back. You can trust. Like, this was the biggest trust exercise I've ever had to do. Like, I had to trust that I was going to step off the edge of a cliff with leaving the paramedics and that the universe was going to catch me. And I just know if it's in your highest purpose, in your soul's alignment, that you're making that decision from that place, the universe will absolutely catch you.
I just want to take my hat off again to you for this, because we rode this with you. We went through it with you, and it was bigger than just the mandate. This was about standing up for something you believe in, which is why you and I are both so passionate about realizing everybody that fought on any side for anything throughout history has been based on their own beliefs and philosophies and ideals as to what they believe in. And I think that was the challenging thing that we had to really come to a place of, is that everyone was doing their best. But what they didn't do or didn't understand was that there's always different perspectives. Not everybody would allow other people to have another perspective. I imagine even within the police force or the ambulance and paramedics, there would have been a little bit of conflict with people just wanting to work, get on, just come on, let's just do this. Did they feel you'd abandoned them or had gone against them? Was there anything you had to deal with internally within your profession as well?
Once again, the training that I've had over the last few years was a godsend leading into this, because, and look, I wasn't perfect during COVID. I had my fair share of, you know, judgment and thinking, why doesn't everyone just think like me kind of situation? But it really did help me to see that everybody, like you said, is doing their best, and everybody wants the best for themselves, for their family, for humanity, whatever that looks like. The biggest thing was about having the choice to do so. And once again, you've got paramedics from all walks of life, all making decisions from their experiences, their family needs. I've got some, you know, really close paramedic friends who have been really supportive to me during this whole journey. And then I know there's, you know, other paramedics who think, you know, absolutely this should be mandated. It's a matter of public safety that it is. And yes, you should have it. And if you're not going to have it, you don't deserve to have a job. I haven't been personally attacked in any of it. Most people are quite respectful in that, you know, if that's your choice, you go. But I haven't actually been in the service for over 2 years now either. So I'm, other than probably my close paramedic friends, I'm quite removed from whatever else is going on there, which is kind of nice. But it's definitely a tidal wave, or, you know, waves of emotions. And, you know, I'll be driving along and I'll see an ambulance. I'll be like, oh man, I would love to be going to whatever emergency they're going to right now and get my hands dirty. But in amongst all of that too, I had my son, another little thing. He actually broke his arm in the middle of COVID, when it was all, you know, everything was all happening at the hospitals. You had to have tests around the hospitals. You know, there was questions over whether unvaccinated people could come into the hospital and all of these things. He broke his arm really badly and we needed to call an ambulance. And the ambulance came to our house today. It was two of my dear paramedic colleagues that turned up that morning, which I was so grateful for. We went to the hospital. We had amazing, you know, treatment by the doctors. We had the most lovely nurses. We're at the Budrum Private Hospital. The nurses were all amazing. And I was so filled with just so much gratitude that these people had actually chosen to have the injection. So it was like the other end of the scale. I'm like, if they didn't have it, if some people didn't have it, we would not be getting the care that we have now. So it actually made me really grateful for all the people that did have it as well. So there's so many sides depending on all the different experience, and neither were not right nor wrong, good or bad or the other. But yeah, it was a moment that really did fill me with so much gratitude that not everybody was like me and just was like, no, you know.
Thank you, Charlie.
They wouldn't have been there. They wouldn't have been there. Yeah, Harry. And then Charlie did Harry. It as well.
I thought Charlie had as well. Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
His was later, but that was certainly an incredible experience as well.
Speaking of children and the gift that they are, you have three very special babes. I know all of us have special babes, but these three are amazing. They're doing really well. Good runners, good sports people, beautiful, whole, wholesome hearts is how I would describe them. They're incredibly generous and open. And Phoebe in particular, your beautiful daughter, she loves coming to the Essential Self-Care Weekend, being on the weekly calls. She is something special. Tell us a little bit about your children, and in particular Phoebe, and the fact that your drive has almost inspired her to open her heart, mind, body and soul.
Oh, it is. I mean, where do you start and where do you finish when you talk about your incredible children? First and foremost, one of the biggest things I learned about having children was that I thought, oh, I've got these beautiful children here to guide along the way. And I realized very quickly that, oh my goodness, these kids are here to teach me. I'm thinking I'm going to teach them. They're going to do this, do that. But no, oh my goodness, they have taught me more than anybody else on this planet. They've triggered every single trigger so far along the way. I know there's many more, which again is a beautiful gift of learning for me. But they're all so different in their own ways. Phoebe, she's my only girl in between the two boys. And yeah, she is something special. She has empathy and compassion for humans, for people, for animals, for the planet. Like, she is here to do really big things for humanity and the planet moving forward. She just cares on such a deep level. I can see a lot of myself in her, but I think her vibration is so high, and she just loves being, she really loves being a part of it. She adores being a part of this group. She comes in on the calls. She loves the self-care weekend. She comes in. She loves serving. She loves being, you know, a part of really helping people and giving back to people. She's always doing little facials and massages for people. She, you know, creates beautiful earrings and gifts for people. She's a real little entrepreneur too. She's always thinking ahead. How can I be making money to, you know, create my future? Incredible little sportswoman as well. So wise beyond her years. But I'm really glad and so grateful that I've had this group, even through this time in her life, you know, from when she was like 8 or 9 years old, to see and be learning this stuff. I'm like, I was in my 30s before I got into a lot of this deep work. She's like 8 and 9. It'll be second nature to her by the time she gets, you know, well, to our age. But even through school, I feel like this work is so powerful, the different relationships, dynamics moving forward. And for the boys too, like they very much pick up on it and love learning about it. Harry in particular, with all his sporting, like he's an incredible sportsman, but he's so fascinated by food and health. And he asks, you know, particularly Cam, because food and health for Cam is a really big part of his life. He asks these really deep, interesting questions about nutrition. And Dad, if I want to do this, you know, is this the best food I should be eating? And what happens if I eat this? And what's, you know, the way they think is just incredible. And Charlie, he's just gorgeous. He loves his mummy cuddles, and I'm going to hold on to that for as long as I can. He's got energy to burn, that child. My goodness, he is nicknamed Charlie Beast because he just has beast-like energy. Like, he's just so two speeds, 150% or nothing. And I know, yeah, he's here to bring the high vibes and a whole different level as well. And it's just, great.
They are. They're amazing. And whenever we all catch up at the markets, I just love my hugs. I love the fact that they love catching up and seeing little Phoebe on those calls, drinking this information in. I feel so privileged that I got introduced to this work in my late teens. But she started at 8. And then I think the gift of that and doing the work that you and I do and have done, our children are ensconced in it. They're embalmed in it. So there is no other way except for them to know and learn and grow even more. Speaking of all of this and all of your experiences and all of the highs and lows and everything you've traversed to this date, you now have your beautiful business, Best Life Holistic Health. Could you tell us, I want to give it a plug, do a shameful plug, like just shameless, should I say, not shameful. Shameful is when we don't feel good about it. I want it to be shameless. So please tell us everything you offer, because there'll be people listening to this going, she's my girl.
Yeah, it's been such a journey. And look, I'm so grateful that I'm where I am today. Best Life Best Life Holistic Health is that it's this holistic wheel of all of the different tools that I have gathered over the last 40 years of my life. In particular, the last 20 as a paramedic, the people skills, the medical knowledge, the science, the background, the understanding how, you know, the body works on a physical level. So if people come to me with a physical ailment or a illness or a disease, I understand what's, you know, from a physiological point of view, understand that in the body. But then I can bring in this whole other world of energy and emotions and, you know, traumas and timeline therapy where we can go back, if it suits you, to past life or generational healing as well. It's just so powerful. And I feel like, you know, you can be eating the best food in your life, but if you were super stressed out in a relationship or at work, your holistic wheel is, it's not complete, and there's going to be gaps and there's going to be cracks. And once again, it's all just guiding you to that point. I've really narrowed down in the last year or two to focusing my attention to working with children, believe it or not. And this all, once again, not that I knew it at the time when I was going through those years of emotional heartache with Harry and all the anxiety, but it's become more apparent in the recent years that, you know, so many children are struggling. I feel like children today are, their vibration is so much higher sometimes than the vibration that's going on the planet. It can be so dense sometimes in the systems and the boxes and all of the things we're trying to make them fit into, yet they're just this high-vibing soul that has so much to give, and we're trying to put, like, you know, a square peg into a round hole and say, fit in here. And I feel like kids are struggling with that. Parents are busier than they've ever been before with demands from work and, you know, even society or whatever's going on. So we're busy. There's the distractions of all the tech. All of these things play a part in, you know, our relationships with our little people and how they are coping in the world, how they're coping in society. And they're struggling. A lot of them are struggling. I've been working with a lot of different kids over the last year, just ones that are really struggling with their anxiety or they're really highly emotional. Energy healing is so beyond powerful. If you can gather all of that beautiful little child's energy and really ground it in and center it in and balance it out in their body, they are completely different little people. They go from being completely stressed out, anxious, you know, highly emotional to these beautiful, calm, centered, confident little beings. And it just blows me away seeing the difference. I saw it with Harry. His was, you know, obviously quite a severe case and it took a bit of time, but the growth in him now over the years has just been, you know, second to none. Like I said, he's unrecognizable. And then I've had children, even with just one session, have done a complete 180 in their life. Their parents are just like, we cannot believe that it was the same child that he was 2 weeks ago, or he or she was 2 weeks ago. And it just fills my heart so much, because helping these little beings, and this is where my children have been guiding me to my highest purpose, deal and cope with life better from an energetic point of view, I'm just so passionate about it. And I also, on the side of working with the little people, offer coaching to the parents as well, and healing for the parents, because I do believe we need to do healing in ourselves as well to be able to best help our children and be a guide for them. So if we're carrying around a lot of emotional baggage, then that's going to have an effect on how we interact with our children, how we cope with their emotions. So I do offer adult sessions as well. I do offer beautiful packages like a healing journey for children who do suffer from anxiety or emotional overwhelm, and coaching for their parents, all in a beautiful big package. Yeah, NLP and timeline therapy tied in there. When I'm working with adults, I don't tend to say, this is what I'm going to do, essentially. I'll talk to you on the phone for half an hour, get a feel for what it's like, for what it is that you're looking for, and then I tailor a program to suit you with what's going to best work for you.
I think this is so powerful for all of us to hear. And I do believe that us parents have a lot more responsibility than we are led to believe, that if our children are going through things, perhaps it's also that mirror effect too, to look at what we're going through. They want to feel safe, loved, and nurtured. And if we ourselves aren't feeling safe, loved and nurtured, how on earth do we pass that on? But I do know that us as parents, we give the best that we can to our kids and we'll do whatever it takes for our kids. So I think what you're offering is an incredible service, because for many of us, we haven't been in our 30s having children. We haven't been in our 40s with teenagers, our 50s when they leave home and all that. Everything is new for all of us. And so each stage and phase has its pluses and I guess its minuses. And how we walk through those times will determine often for our children how they do it. So yes, they teach us a lot, but I think it comes back to that really important thing too of having responsibility and accountability for our own healing, our own journey and our own emotions. You know, you've been part of my work for the last 5-6 years, and I'm really honoured to have you in my group because you offer such a beautiful dynamicism, a beautiful outlook on life. And I think we've all come together and we welcome new souls into this group, particularly the Self-Love and Wellness Mentorship group, because it is that accountability and responsibility, but it's a beautiful place for us to feel safe and vulnerable. If, in my humble opinion, it was called the Self-Love and Wellness Mentorship Group for that reason, if we can love ourselves. I'd love to ask your definition of self-love.
My definition of self-love all comes back to listening to your inner voice. If you listen to yourself, because so often we push it to the side, and I'm not talking about that voice in your head, that nagging voice that says you're not good enough or you're going to fail or don't try or you're not skinny enough or whatever it is. I'm talking about that whisper from your heart, not your head, but from your heart, from your soul's like highest purpose, that whisper that said to me, you can't have this injection. Yes, put your name on this list. Have a healing session for Harry. Try something different. Whatever those little whispers are, whether it's, you know, to get out of a relationship, to change a job, to buy the house or not buy the house, whatever the thing is, listening to your soul. And I say soul because I feel like it's a little bit different from just the head chatter. And if you think about the decision, feel the decision that you're going to make for something and you feel expansive and like lighter, then you know that it's the right decision. You don't want to be making those decisions that make you feel like contracted or like you know that you're going against your gut feeling. I just think if you listen to that voice and follow your heart, that is the true essence of you, right? That's where you are as your being, what you have to offer on this planet. And if you listen to that, I just feel like that's the deepest, most beautiful love that you could give yourself. Otherwise, you're ignoring yourself, and that's not loving yourself. So I've done both. I have ignored those whispers before, and it was awful. It was awful. It really did not lead me to my highest purpose. I learned those lessons, though, and then didn't ignore them the next time, which then, when I trusted that, led me to a much, much higher purpose. I had to learn the hard way, unfortunately, but I got there in the end.
I think many of us learn through hardship and struggle, as His Holiness told me. It is part of the human psyche and development that we only really wake up or hear things when we're in sometimes the depths or in the real struggle of life. And that's, I guess, the beauty of it. I can only say that when you're out the other side, because it's hard say that when you're in it. Sweetheart, we could talk forever. I'm so glad we got to have you on here. If we were to close today's chat, what would be your final message, and maybe include your favorite quote to the Self-Love podcast listener?
My favorite quote, I have so many, Kimmy, like you do. I love a good quote, but this one I just feel like sums up life as it has been for the last few years or last decade or so. But uncertainty is a sign of growth. Change is a sign that we are leveling up, and endings are a sign that rebirth is on the way. And I think if you can hold and nourish those few things and trust the process, trust the journey, trust your heart's messages, then the universe will have your back.
It's so powerful. Could you just say it one more time?
So uncertainty is a sign of growth. Change is a sign that we are leveling up. And endings are a sign that rebirth is on the way.
That's just profound, isn't it? What
it
a
is.
Beautiful way for you to encompass your journey, but also to impart your knowledge and that journey and what you've learned through those times for us. I just want to, again, high five you, thank you, acknowledge you, and also celebrate you for everything you and your beautiful family have been through so that you can actually impart these gorgeous learnings and offerings and services to all of us. But I also just want to say a massive congratulations for the mandate. Again, not challenging either side. It was just that beautiful choice that you fought so hard for. And I just want to say thank you for stepping up and always leveling up when it comes to parenting and your relationships. And that comes through in your best life, holistic health practice. And I would say to anybody who wants to reach out to our beautiful Sarah, follow her on her socials, reach out to her on her website. And I guess where that leads me is, how can people get in touch with you, lovely?
Yeah, my socials are the easiest, best way to reach out. So Best Life Holistic Health, both on Instagram and Facebook. And if you message me through either one of those, I will absolutely get back to you. And if you would like more information, I'm more than happy to jump on, you know, a 15-minute, 20-minute discovery call with you just to see if it's a fit and see if what I have to offer is something that will benefit you and all your family, all your children.
Oh, I just think children are just such a gift. And if we can really look at their symptoms or signs as a measure for us to also level up, then thank goodness people like you are on this planet giving us some hope or an idea as to where to go, or at least question, ask the questions. So make sure you follow our beautiful Sarah Best on Best Life Holistic Health on Facebook and Instagram. I'll make sure that goes into the show notes. Thank you so much for being on the show with me today, beautiful Sarah. I love you dearly. And I know our journey has got many lifetimes to go. So thank you. Thank you, beautiful soul.
Oh, thank you, Kimmy. I know I would not be where I am today without all of your love and support and guidance along the way. So, you know, there is not enough thanks and gratitude for having you in my life. And I'm so grateful to be able to share this message with you and your listeners. I really, really hope they get something out of it.
Oh, they will, my friend. They will. Thank you again, gorgeous.
Thanks, Kim. Mwah.
Thanks for listening to the Self Love Podcast. Be sure to write a review and share the love with your friends and family. And head over and visit Kim and her team at 28.com. That's the word 20 and the number 8.com. Take good care.
This has been a production of TheWellnessCouch.com. Check us out on Facebook and join in the conversation on Facebook.com/TheWellnessCouch. Subscribe to each show on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. The Wellness Couch, streaming wellness into your lives.
Whilst the Wellness Couch presenter endeavor to provide accurate and helpful information to their listeners, these podcasts cannot take into account individual circumstances and are not intended to be a substitute for health and medical advice from a qualified health professional. You should always seek the advice of a qualified health professional before acting on any of the information provided by any of the Wellness Couch podcasts.